Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband. Wednesday night rugby on Off the Ball.
Jerry Thorney, come on in from New Zealand. The breaking news is that Peter O'Mahony will captain the Lions for the first test.
Yeah, it was in the tea leaves, to be honest. We had expected it, or they thought anyway, because of the way things have transpired. I guess what's a little bit surprising, and we just got the team, is that Alwyn Jones has been called in the second row, and he did captain the Lions in their decisive third test win, Sam Warburton's absence, in the third test 4 years ago. And Sam Warburton must have been close enough to selection himself, but he's on the bench. But still in all, such was the way Peter O'Mahony led the team in the win over the Maori last Saturday in Rotorua that, he's been retained as captain. And in that back row with Sean O'Brien there as well, I suppose his captaincy is down in part to the fact that Sean O'Brien's form has been sensational on tour, notably against the Maori. And that means he gets in ahead of the tour captain. I think it's the first time the tour captain hasn't started the first test since the 1930s. So, yeah, Peter O'Mahony completes the set now. He's pretty much captained every team. From Perez Bray, Cork Conn underage sides, all the way through up to Ireland and Netherlands and every team in between. He's just born to lead.
Yeah, it's an absolutely remarkable story from his perspective when you consider the injury happening in the World Cup. To get from there and the darkness of that comeback that it must have been for him to hear is incredible. Because remember, like just back a couple of months ago, there was a bit of doubt about whether or not O'Mahony would be squeaking into the Lions selection, let alone captaining the team in the first test.
Well, yeah, I mean, when he, on the morning of the England game, which is the final game of the Six Nations, he was on the bench as a replacement because it was just such a tough Irish back row to get back into. He missed the start of the Six Nations with other niggling injuries. He missed the start of the November tour window as well, so he missed out in Chicago. And I think in the 15 months between, he got that bad injury in the pool decider against France in the World Cup, the ruptured ACL joint, and didn't play again for a year. And come the morning of the evening game, the last day of the Six Nations, his only start in Test rugby was against Canada. He'd won a couple of other caps off the bench. He'd done very well against Australia. I think he played against Wales and France off the top of my head in the Six Nations. And then come the morning of that game, Jamie Heaslip gets injured in the warm-up. Peter O'Mahony comes into the starting lineup, has an absolute stormer, and jumps immediately the tensions of the Lions and supplements up with great form for Munster, leads them well. And is picked. Now, Graham Rantree was speaking yesterday. We asked him about Peter O'Mahony, and he said he was one player they'd earmarked from an early stage for a Lions tour. So it's a great story. It's just a wonderful story. It's an unlikely story. But then again, if you look at this Lions team, a lot of the players picked in it, have not played an awful lot of rugby lately through injury. You know, Alan Wynne-Jones would be one of those. Sam Warburton would be one of those. Sean O'Brien, Peter O'Mahony. But of course, that means they're relatively fresh. They're low minded coming into this tour. And there's no doubt that the toughness of the itinerary, it's really struck me now on this tour, the toughness of the itinerary, the toughness of the matches has made them maybe way more match hardened going into the first test than if they were routinely rolling over provincial side.
Yeah, okay. So Keith Wood is with us as well. Keith, good evening to you. I'll just recap the team for anybody who's just joining us. The pack first. Marco Vinopola, Jamie George and Tadhg Furlong will start in the front row. As Jerry just said, Alwyn Jones makes the team in the second row alongside George Cruse. It's Peter O'Mahony, Sean O'Brien and Talib Faletau in the back row. Conor Murray starts at 9. Owen Farrell gets the nod at out half. On the wings, Elliot Daly, Anthony Watson, a midfield partnership of Ben Teo, Jonathan Davis and Liam Williams starts at full back. So the midweek match was actually quite important in terms of selection. It gave a couple of players the opportunity to play their way onto the team, Keith. But maybe just to go back to the Irish situation first, and we'll talk about the rest of it in a couple of minutes' time. O'Mahony's captain and Sean O'Brien is named at 7. It is a remarkable comeback, really, from both of them, Keith, in many respects, because O'Brien is named in the squad, hasn't played a whole heap of rugby because of injury, and is behind, you would expect, Sam Warburton, who is named the tour captain. That's a difficult situation for anybody to be in, and a couple of barnstorming performances, and lo and behold, he's back in the team.
Well, and how easy is that? I mean, what I love about this selection is it is a selection that is pretty close to being a form selection as you can get, and you can have selections for the tour that are based on things that have happened over the last couple of years, or maybe even based on what happened on the last Lions tour. But when you get to test team, you have to pick the team that's playing very well. And I think Sean has played very well. But I also think Sean and Peter have played above the standard of the other players in their positions on the tour. And because of that, in fairness to Gatland, he has gone with the guys who are actually playing well. And I think Jerry touched on a good point. You can rarely have a sabbatical or a gap in your rugby career. What tends to happen is you get an injury. And it's how do you react to that? Do you come back fitter, fresher, stronger, all those sort of things? Or do you come back wrecked and down after the injury? Well, both of those players haven't. Sean O'Brien had a hard time getting back into it, getting up to match fitness during the year. But once he did, he was flying it. Peter O'Mahony is a different type of character. He's kind of a little bit reckless and doesn't really care too much about his own body and seems to be able to get up to a level of performance very, very quickly. And he has done so in this season, towards the end of the season internationally.
I should tell everybody who's on the bench as well. It's a 5-3 split. Jack McGrath, Ken Owens and Kyle Sinclair in the front row. Itoje and Warburton. It's Reese Webb, Johnny Sexton and Lee Halfpenny. What was the prospect of Sexton starting, Jerry, here? What were the whispers around? Was there any significant thought given to playing either him or Owen Farrell in the centre?
I'm sure that we'll probably get a clearer perspective on that later today in New Zealand, middle of the night, your time. There was a lot of speculation within the media pack, and Steve Hansen himself speculated that that was going to be the rabbit out of the hat, that Warren Gatland was going to pull and he was going to play the two of them together, starting Sexton and Farrell at 12. It worked impressively off the bench against the Crusaders. It worked quite seamlessly, actually, despite the Lions head coach Gatland and Andy Farrell both maintaining that they hadn't trained much together at all, and I believe them. So for that reason, I never thought of myself was going to happen. I just didn't see Owen Farrell going up at inside centre against Sonny Bill Williams. I think Ben Teo has gone so well on this tour. He's probably made more line breaks than any other Lions player. He's really, you know, been a handful for New Zealand defences back in the country of his birth. And I just always felt that Ben Teo was going to start, given that also, you know, Warren Gatland sides tend to have always had the Jamie Roberts type inside centre to take them over the game line and play from there, rather than a dual playmaker. It always seemed to me that the Farrell-Sexton combination would be something that you can use for 20 or 30 minutes, the last 20 or 30 minutes of the match, if you're chasing the game or even if you're trying to close it out, you know, with the two kicking tens or two playmaking tens. But Sexton is a bit unlucky because, for me, he was back to his best against the Maori. He's taking the ball flat to the game line. Right in the second minute, I linked up in the first 25 minutes three times with Tyke Burland. They've quite an understanding. He kicked, mixed his game better. He kicked better. And I thought he tackled well, as he usually does. He really was very involved. And he played very well. It was probably the best out-half performance of the tour. But Farrell has just come into this tour. He's still in good form. And you can't debate what he's achieved in the last 4 years. He just has a real presence about him now. I think he's played, in the intervening, since the last Lions tour, I think he's played in 4 Champions Cup finals in a row. He's just been Six Nations Player of the Year, albeit a 12.
Yeah.
And he's just had a bit of a strut about him. So I always felt that Farrell was going to start.
Yeah. Did a thing with Dan Carter recently, Keith, where he was saying Owen Farrell has to be in your team. He's just that type of player. He gives confidence to everybody around him. So it's not a bad subs bench to have somebody like Sexton with his experience and also that general sense of rattiness that he wants to prove something coming off the bench. I know he won't enjoy that. He won't like that. But ultimately, if you're Warren Gatland and you look to the bench and you need some help, and Johnny Sexton is there, you're pretty happy with life.
Yeah, I think it's a really good use of the squad, and that's one of the parts. But I think one of the difficulties with it, and we're saying this is the form team, is that the how do you fully gauge the performances of the players against teams that didn't quite show as well? You know, you'd have expected more from the Chiefs, and you'd have expected more from the Maori last weekend. So some of the level of competition is not exactly like with like, but these are the players that seem to put their hand up for the Lions. But one of the elements I thought all along where the Lions might have a little bit of an edge is on the bench. And when you look at the bench there, it's impactful. Like Itoje would you want Alan Wynne Jones on the bench or would you want Itoje on the bench? I think you'd probably want Itoje. He is like a force of nature at the end. And you have an old canny operator to take some of the sting out of it for the first 50 minutes and suddenly put in a player who has phenomenal capacity for 30 minutes. I think that could be very good. And you look at some of the security you have further back with Sexton and with Lee Halfpenny if needed. And I thought Lee Halfpenny played well last week, but pretty unspectacular. Liam Williams showed a cutting edge that the Lions absolutely have to have. When they get a chance, they have to try and put them away. He showed that, I think, during the week, so he gets the nod. Sexton, I think, will be upset, but I just do think there's something lovely about having Sexton and Farrell having a half an hour together if needed. And I think if it comes down to that at the end of it, the Lions haven't, with the exception of the game on Tuesday, haven't finished very, very strong. So I think you put us into a very strong position with that bench that comes in, guys that can lead when they come onto the field. So I actually, it's a really good squad. I'm very happy with it.
Okay, let's hear a little bit from Gatland. Here he is talking just a moment ago about why he chose Peter O'Mahony to captain the Lions in the first test.
I think the selection is based on form for a lot of those players that have played in the Crusaders and the Māori game, and a few players on Tuesday night put their hand up as well and played their way into the side. We said there was an opportunity for players to do that, and they did that. What we've also pretty pleased, we've got some experience and players who can come off the bench and give us some real impact. There's a nice blend, balance and mix, and Peter had captained the side against the Māoris and done a good job. We've picked a team that we think are capable of going and playing some exciting rugby. You've got to be able to be prepared to match the All Blacks. We've got to be excited about the 15 that take the field, but also we've got a bench, a very, very strong, experienced bench, players who can have an impact. And I'm excited about the team. Like I said, we've got to be good, and we know we've strangled a couple of sides, and we're not going to deny that it hasn't been successful, but we've also got the ability to be able to play.
Yeah, like when you consider the amount of stuff that has been thrown at Gatland, some of it seemed at the time justifiable. Ultimately, he's come to a team selection here which reflects very well on how he's managed his resources, Jerry, up to and including the point where Liam Williams and Elliot Daly were given a chance, played well midweek, when I guess the most of the rest of the world looked at that game and thought, this is almost absolutely meaningless given the kids on the bench who he's just called in who aren't even first choice for their country. When all of a sudden now it looks like he's been working away with his crafty master plan, making sure that he was just giving everybody the last opportunity that they needed to prove that they were the right players for the team.
Yeah, and you remember all that big fuss as well about the six geographically based call-ups last weekend, only one of whom saw a little bit of time in the game last Tuesday, and the fuss that was made about that, completely out of proportion to a lot of other stuff going on in the world at the moment anyway. But you're right, I think he's planned this very well. It's hard not to dispute the claim that they've come here and he's picked a team based in form. I think also, you know, just getting your head around it, you're right. I mean, most people thought that being picked on last Tuesday against the Chiefs was, you know, condemned to being on the dirt track with pending injury or form or whatever in the second or third test, that it really had no relevance for this week. So what does that do? It sends out a message to the whole squad that, yeah, there are places up for grabs here. I'm going to reward form. He said all along that he would do this. He also said all along that, you know, Sam Warburton's selection as captain did not actually guarantee him a place in the test team. And one of the other conversations he would have, one of the first ones, would be with the other contenders for that jersey. And that, you know, the starting position would be treated on merit. Well, it has been. And I think, you know, they've arrived here with a team selection based on form. And it's also quite a gamble when you think of it. Most people would have expected them to go with Lee Halfpenny at fullback. Lee Halfpenny was utterly error-free on a horrid night in Rotorua against the Māori.
Yeah.
And he took his goal-kicking sequence to 12 from 12. Everybody thought he was going to be there at fullback. But picking Liam Williams gives them more of a counter-attacking edge. It's a bit more of a risk because he's not as error-free as Lee Halfpenny will be. And Elliot Daly ahead of George North, that's very much a form pick as well. A lot of people presumed that because North started the last two Saturdays against the Crusaders and again last Saturday against that he would be picked, he would be retaining the team based on past achievements and what he achieved in the Test Series 4 years ago when he was in the Lions' main match winner. But Elliot Daly has shown better form in this tour, so it's not, seems quite right. So Daly's in. Again, there's not as much experience, but there's still a fair core of experience in that team.
Yeah.
There's still seven on that side, a starter, or test lines, and another three in the bench. So there's still a good core of quite an experienced team, and the team picked in form. Yeah, they're in a good place. And I, like I said at the start of this, I think playing all the franchises has been tougher games than the provinces. And as Gatland also said all along, this is going to make them more match hardened for the first test. And I think the New Zealand media are starting to fear that that might be the case as well.
Yeah, okay. Just to tell everybody, it's Westmeath, the goal on 8 points. Kilkenny, 11 points. There's 36 minutes gone in Cusick Park. And we'll be back to Dahi Regan a little bit later on for an update on that one. The other thing, Keith, that we've seen over the course of the preliminaries is that style of play evolving. He talked about it there, about strangling teams, but then also being able to counter-attack and score tries. And that's been noticeable in reading some of the New Zealand coverage as well. The post-match response from the Chiefs coach was all about how his team were smothered midweek. And again, you kind of thought, well, look, maybe this doesn't actually matter that much. But what matters is that there are systems in place, that there's a process that the players have bought into, that the Andy Farrell defence is working. And if you get that right, the chances are you're probably going to be in a game.
Well, there's a few points, and I want to just touch on one of Jerry's points as well, if I can. But under the defensive structure, it takes a period of time to get everybody in concert. It actually does the same in attack as well. And like, I think the manner in which the Lions have gone about the game and the games has been pretty impressive. And whether it'll be good enough, I don't know. But I know that they built it in stages and stages, and there were an awful lot of missed end passes at the end of phases that could have led to tries in some of the earlier matches. They don't stick because you don't know the player he's passing it to, you don't know the line he's going to run, you don't know the subtleties of his game and how he plays. That gets better as the weeks, and it looked an awful lot better. Defensively, the lines that rush up defence, has been brilliant. Now, whether it'll be brilliant against the All Blacks, again, I don't know. You're playing against a higher calibre of player. But it does take a matter of time. And they look and act as one. And I think that has been very impressive. So that's something that has to happen during a Lions tour. And there hasn't been a huge number of dissenting voices. And so I think that's fine. I wanted to touch on the little bit of hullabaloo that Jerry mentioned about the six players and that it was over-egged. I don't believe it was over-egged. I would still have gone for six of the best players you could get to bring in, even with the logistical difficulties. I don't think you want to cheapen a Lions jersey that is talked about all the time as being the pinnacle of the sport. And by the fact of expediency, you can take in the guys that are closest, especially when only one of them was used at the weekend. Will we use those guys in the next 2 or 3 weeks? And if that was to be the case, would you not rather have the best next group of players along as opposed to the guys who are closest? So I understand why Gatland went and did it. And I actually have a fair amount of sympathy with him. And I think it's a smart play to bring out five players, six players, when you need them to make certain that your team can be fine at the weekend. But they need to be the best players, not just the closest.
Other than that, though, it's full mark so far from what he's been doing?
Oh, I think so. I think he's done incredibly well. I think he's pulled the group together. I like the selection of the team. I like the fact that players who have put their hand up get selected. I like the fact that it seems that all the players from the other countries have taken to the fact of Peter Mahoney as a leader and as a captain, and that the sentiment for the last week has been, look, on form, he gets picked. He's a great line-out option. He's a nuisance. He's a fine player, and he's playing in form. The tour captain is not. But how hungry will the tour captain be to deliver for the last 20 or 30 minutes of the game? And I also think it's great to have a captain to close out a game.
Yeah, it's good that they've got that smattering of experience on the bench if they need it. All right, 53106 is the text number. If anybody wants to get in touch, you can tweet us here at Off the Ball. They've added a point each in the Westmeath Kilkenny game. 40 minutes gone, and it's a draw game in the under 21 hurling match between Westmeath and Kilkenny tonight. Jerry, we haven't spoken at all yet about the All Black team.
All Black.
I guess there was Kieran Reid was a bit of a doubt, but he's in the team. And Rico Ione starts, having already played the Lions twice, and I think it's going to be his third cap. So they obviously feel he has some important knowledge and also good form. He's starting on the wing. Sonny Bill starts at 12. And I guess apart from that, it's pretty much as you would have expected.
Ryan Crowley returns Meansby as well, and he's been named outside centre ahead of Anton Leonard Brown. That was a big debate in the media. They just couldn't call that. It was very much like 50-50 call. Leonard Brown was excellent against Samoa and linked up well with Sonny Bill Williams in their first test start together. They played the Chiefs way back when. And it looked like they might stick with that because Crowley hasn't played for 3 weeks with a rib cartilage injury he suffered for the Crusaders when they won a thriller against the Highlanders at home with that late drop goal. Crowley was really good that day. Of course, the man who scored the try to beat Ireland at Lansdowne Road late on. He provides a lot of straight running. He straightens the line very well. He's a very influential player in the team. He's a very clever player, good distributor, just a classic footballer. So they brought him back. So there's a little bit of gamble in his fitness. More so in Reid. Hasn't played since the start of April, albeit it was only a broken thumb. But once the word from their camp was that he's, as even Foster, their assistant coach, says, he's our leader. And this will be his 98th cap. So do the maths. He's in line to reach a century mark in the third test in Eden Park. And, of course, Eden Park is their fortress. They haven't lost here since 1994. But the one for Rico Ioane over Julian Savea, given Savea is so prolific to the All Blacks, is a little bit of a surprise. Ioane caused the Lions a lot of problems in the Blues win. He scored one try and was a general torn in the side all that night. Also played for Mary against the Tourists. But this will be his first test start, so it's a little bit of a gamble as well. I guess that's Steve Hansen's rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah. In terms of the style and how well they're playing at the moment, is a 78-0 or whatever the score was not much use as a warm-up, or the actual perfect warm-up ahead of a game like this? What was the take in New Zealand?
Well, the take in New Zealand is that everything the All Blacks do is perfect. So, you know, this is great. It's wonderful. It showed off the skill set. And it sure did. And it dusted off the cobwebs because the first 20 minutes, they were not good. And they were fortunate to be 7-0 up. The first try had never been awarded. It had been a knock-on base by Savea, Artie Savea. And it should have been disallowed. And the Samoans made a couple of line breaks and could easily have scored themselves. But that being said, the match-turning score, when having made another line break, there's a turnover near their own line. Ben Smith races out of the 22, and immediately Aaron Smith, Sonny Bill Williams, and Bowden Barrett are all in the same mood. A sequence of offloads later, brilliant ball skills from Barrett, and he scored the other end of the pitch, and he goes on to land 7 out of 7, whatever it was, and scored 2 tries, and he looked back to his best. And that's just typical All Blacks. They can score from anywhere, anytime on the pitch, like no other team in the world. And of course, once they got that score, the confidence started to flow back, and you could see whether they look as strong as they ever did, probably even as strong as when they retained the World Cup. So it's hard to imagine a more daunting, more difficult task for the Lions. But like as Keith said, at least they put themselves in a position where they looked like they couldn't be more competitive.
Yeah, Keith, the Lions are 10 points favourites. The All Blacks are 10 points favourites. It's the Lions plus 10 is the handicap for this game. I suddenly feel like this is a much closer game than it was when the whole tour was a couple of months away, and even when the Lions arrived and stuttered through the first couple of games. Now all of a sudden, I feel like this could be a very tight one-score game heading down the stretch.
Yeah, it's interesting. And again, I go back to my previous point of trying to gauge the performance of the Lions against the quality of the opposition. Now, of course, they're good rugby players, but they're not the All Blacks. And I did think the Chiefs kind of gave up the ghost fairly early, but I also thought the Maori were quite disorganised in defence for a lot of the game. So I think some of that optimism is that pure joy that you have at looking at a Lions test series, and I would like to believe in all of it. I don't yet, and partly because I'm not down in New Zealand, but you don't get caught up in all of that. Still looking at it with a slightly cold eye. I'm surprised with a couple of the selections for the All Blacks. I am really surprised that Savea isn't there. Because I just think he is ruthless and gets to the try line all the time. But we need to be able to create enough. And when we create it, we need to take it. We need to take all our chances. And I still don't think we've been clinical enough. And I'm hoping that all the team hits its straps for the weekend. And it depends how that ring rustiness that was there for a while against Samoa for the All Blacks, whether that shows its head or not. But I'm not so sure. I think they hit the ground running. And it's how the defensive structure is able to deal with the offloading game that some of these players on the All Blacks side have, and whether that rush defence can put them under pressure so that they're not getting into a position in which to be able to do so, and whether it might cough up some balls. So I think 10 is about right, maybe even a little bit more, and I'm thinking that some of the hyperbole that's gone is maybe for the excitement of the tour. But I think there is an Auckland factor, an Eden Park factor. I do think that that's something that ground is sacrosanct to the All Blacks. They have a long history there. They've lost one record to Ireland this year. I don't think they want to lose another one, stretching all the way back to 94. And I think it's hard to see them win this one. I still hold out with my view that the best chance for them is in the second test, and then all bets are on or off, whichever way it works.
All right. Good stuff, Keith. Just one last question for you, Jerry, before I go. The referee, Jaco Pyper, is on the whistle at the weekend. Any fears, expectations, worries about what his role might be, given that there's been a bit of talk in the build-up to the game?
Yeah. Yeah, your mind flashes back immediately to the Aviva Stadium and the rematch 2 weeks after Chicago, and the way he allowed a lot go that day, as happened, of course, in Paris when the French set out to rough up Johnny Sexton a year before. So, yeah, of course, there are always concerns because, the All Blacks can intimidate a lot of people, including the refs, including at home. I mean, most referees, it's hard to be neutral in the face of the home team. I do think what changes this, though, is that the eyes of the world are on him. I think he's also, in fairness, the officials have been involved in the test in the series up till now. He was excellent last Saturday. That confess, was really, really good in the way he oversaw the Maori Lions match. So not too much fears, really. I think also Gatlin's been quite successful thus far in getting his message across about the blockers, blocking when their Lions go for the kick chase game or when they're support traders for breaks are being blocked off the ball. There was a penalty again in midweek on Tuesday for this. So I think that he's getting his message across. So I wouldn't be unduly worried, but then we'll see how it transpires.
All right. Good stuff, Jerry. We'll leave it there. Thanks a million. It's Jerry Thorney of the Irish Times with us, alongside Keith Wood with us every Wednesday here on Off the Ball. It is 16 to for Kilkenny, 1-10 for Westmeath. So Kilkenny eking out a lead with 13 minutes left on the game there. Kieran says, I'm looking forward to Peter O'Mahony being handed one of those ceremonial Maori wooden spears after the final whistle on Saturday morning. I predict a tight win, 2 or 3 points. Don says, honestly, lads, I was half buying into your chat about the Lions being overrated earlier on, but hearing that O'Mahony's been handed the captain's armband made me punch the air in the living room. Yeah, I get that.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.